was formed in 1979. In 1997, the Rent Review Advisory first established rules and procedures, which provided guidelines in general matters. These guidelines were amended in 2000, which is a while ago. So then in September 2016, the City Council approved Ordinance 3132 that concerned the creation of the Rent Review Advisory Committee and adding the Rent Review Advisory Committee into the Municipal Code. Then on March 1st, 2016, the City Council approved the Rent Stabilization Ordinance number 3148, which became effective March 31st. This ordinance provided more guidance as to the duties of the Rent Review Advisory Committee. So due to the significant changes set forth in Ordinance 3148, staff has worked with the City Attorney's Office to review and amend the rules and procedures for the Rent Review Advisory Committee. The changes that are reflected in the agenda, the proposed changes, reflect so Ordinance 3148 and all any changes made by that ordinance, the Municipal Code Section 223.4 and the City Sunshine Ordinance requirements. So just to give a brief summary, what are some examples of the changes that were made? There is sort of more laying out of what the agenda will include than guidance for the Rent Review Advisory Committee members on what factors to consider for rental disputes, and clarifies as well the process for the reviewing each case for a rent review. Staff received some comments from current committee members that made some suggestions to what's proposed in the agenda. Just wanted to go over what committee members have asked questions about or made suggestions for. We have a few responses from the city attorney, not for all, but for some, so I'll include that. And then we'll open it up so the committee members can discuss the issues more specifically and make the changes that they'd like. All right, so if you have...
Just one comment. So I think, is there a typo here in this summary that you just made? So it says on September 2nd, 2016, the City Council approved. So you mean 2015?
2015. You want to... Go ahead, yes,
I can. Is there some document that has those comments on it?
With the shared with the committee members? Yeah. We didn't print out the documents,
okay.
Since we didn't have it for okay. the audience to
right.
share. So just to let you know, your options for today, the procedures, if we make verbiage changes exactly as you'd like to see them, and everyone agrees and passes, then we can have the rules and procedures passed today. Your other option would be to discuss the items and direct staff is what you'd like the verbiage to be, and then staff for the next meeting will offer you a sort of cleaned up version that you can review again. So it's up to the committee how they want it. So I'm just going to verbally say them since we didn't have them for the public. Okay, so first, this is for duties, section of duties. There was a recommendation to say that, include the sentence, the committee will render a decision concerning the rent duties. And just to let you know, the city attorney agrees that that would be good verbiage to include. Then we have for the section about the agenda, there was a recommendation to put in the sentence more clarity about who is in charge of the agenda. And the sentence would read, the chair shall be responsible for the agenda in consultation with the secretary. And give you the response from the city attorney. The office said that it would be good to have clarity like this, and just emphasizing working with staff would be important to include that. Then there was a comment that noted the Rosenberg rules, and that stated that the Rosenberg rules include inviting the public to contribute comments on each motion, that maybe this isn't appropriate for rent review cases, as they're individual to the circumstances of the folks in the cases. However, the city attorney responded that the Sunshine Ordinance requires that any member of the public be allowed to speak on any agenda item. Then also, so for section B3, this is maintenance of membership. A committee member made the comments that this section was didn't have enough clarity, and the suggestion was that, let's see, there needs to be more information about who has the authority to excuse a member from the committee. Just to let you know, the city attorney hasn't provided verbiage or guidance on that, so we can get more direction, or you can discuss between yourselves what you think provides the clarity needed. Okay, moving to section C2, the officer election. A committee member made the point that this section doesn't state that all officers, all committee members need to be present for a vote of the chair or the vice chair, and that maybe this would be an important clarification or requirement to put in. Also, there was a request to, it says the election will happen July 1st, to remove the first and just say the election will happen in July. Also, for section E1, the regular meetings section, there, right now it's stated that meetings will start at 7 p.m. Generally, we've been starting the meetings at 6:30, and there was a suggestion to move it back to 6:30. And then one additional point here, for section H, rules of order, there was suggestion from a committee member to add a description of the hearing, so what's conducted here, so that folks that are trying to understand the process could read through and know what to expect. So I'll just read, there was verbiage given to the section, and Seth can include this for the next time, but I'll read what was written. Is sort of creating a new section called hearings. So this is hearings, section A, the chair shall initiate each hearing by calling the secretary to read the case summary. B, the parties of the case shall each have up to 5 minutes to orally represent their concerns. C, members shall have the opportunity to ask clarifying questions of the parties concerning the case and or facilitate an agreement between the parties. D, if no agreement between the parties is reached within 30 minutes, the chair shall poll the members for recommendations. Any member may request additional time for discussion with the parties, and the chair may grant such a request, repeating the poll at end of such time. E, the chair will invite a motion to render a decision on the rent increase, and the meeting will return to consideration of the motion. And I do have I do have one additional recommendation from a committee member. It states that, it's a question really, it's asking, has the city of Alameda adopted the Rosenberg Rules of Order for conduct in a public meeting? And just to let you know, the city attorney did respond to that and stated that the city council has not adopted the Rosenberg Rules, so the recommendation is that it wouldn't be appropriate for the Rent Review Advisory Committee to then adopt them, but that they should be used as guidance. And really, the Sunshine Ordinance is where the committee can look for procedures, guidance on procedures. So that's an overview of staff's suggestions and then also comments from committee members, but we would like to take this time for the committee members to have a discussion about the rules and procedures and offer reasons for any suggestions made, and if you want to pass this, you can do that today, or you can make a motion to pick this up at the next meeting with giving directions to staff.
So can we pass it with these changes that are suggested, or?
Mm-hmm. So we would just need to clarify the exact verbiage, but if you are all comfortable with what we have for the verbiage and you want to pass it with those changes, then we can do that today.
Mm-hmm. I have two things. One, who asked about the Rosenberg Rule? Just out of curiosity.
Sorry?
Who asked about the Rosenberg Rule?
I did.
Was your concern that the public was not being allowed to comment in individual cases because you thought they had an opinion on it?
No.
No.
What I really asked Michael was whether the city council or the city of Alameda had adopted the Rosenberg rules. for the city council. It wasn't really with respect to RAC.
Okay.
Because he's already saying that Rosenberg's should be used as a guide. If you look on section G, the end of it, which is on the next page, as it turns out. And I think Michael is pretty comfortable with the idea of it being used as a guide, but that really wasn't my question. My question, because many municipalities within California have formally adopted the Rosenberg rules as procedural for how they run their council meetings. And my question, since I hadn't heard of Rosenberg rules before this document came along, I simply asked him whether Alameda had done that or not, and I just was unaware of it. And I think that Michael assumed I was talking about the RAC, when I was talking about the city council. And he responded to the negative that they hadn't adopted it, and it wouldn't be wise for RAC to consider adopting it, that it should be adopted at the city council level first, and then if they adopt it, then we could consider it. But this is a pretty well-defined methodology of procedures in this document, which follows very closely Rosenberg rules of order. And so I have no problem with what Michael said, and I have no concern about Rosenberg rules being used.
Okay. Well, I raised the question about using the Rosenberg rules and whether the public would be invited to comment on every section. Right. So I raised that question because my concern was that during a hearing, when we're really trying to mediate a process between the two parties, I thought it was inappropriate for it to be open to the public to make additional comments during that phase. And so actually I also suggested this thing about setting out the procedure for hearing, because it sort of separates it out, the process mm-hmm. during which the two parties are talking, from considering the motion. So after the motion is considered, then the public would have an opportunity to comment if they wanted to, I think is my understanding.
But right after the motion or after?
After the motion is made.
Hmm.
After the motion about our decision is made, then the public would have an opportunity to make comments according, you know, in agreement with the Sunshine Ordinance. Yeah. Do you get understand?
I do. That was what I thought when I read the notes, but I have a concern about that.
Yeah.
My concern is on the pace of the meeting and getting, if we allow public comment right after we make a motion, my concern is that when we get some of the larger groups in here, especially tenants that are in one building,
yeah.
that it will become a like the dialogue is already happening between
yeah.
the two parties. We come to an agreement, and instead of waiting until the public comment to make, we might not be able to get on to the next case, and we'll have to constantly be postponing the days and the cases.
Well, yeah, I think that's the cost of the Sunshine Ordinance. You know, we don't have a choice. Everything that we vote on as an action, as a public committee, has to be open to the public to make comment. It's in the Sunshine Ordinance.
I know it's in the Sunshine Ordinance.
And so we don't have a choice.
Well, but if you look at the RIC Review Advisory Committee meeting procedure, the second item after the case is stated, case number,
uh-huh.
the second item is to receive public comments before we even conduct mediation.
Those are actually the participants. That's referring to the participants.
No.
That's not anything that was passed. That's for the...
Well, that's for us to consider.
Right. I would say, just to speak to your point about when to open up to public comment,
yeah.
Just a reference for the city council, that public comment is always heard before a motion is passed.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. That's my understanding, too.
Uh-huh.
So,
I guess my concern was, I hear what you say. I was envisioning a situation in which we come to a decision and then somebody's going to be unhappy about it, and then a series of comments is made about a decision that's already been taken when really it should have been before.
Right.
And then where do we go from that? Because we can't undo a decision.
I think the Sunshine Ordinance is pretty clear about facilitating and encouraging public participation in the process, which is why there is a section before a motion is made to hear public comment. That's the way the city council runs.
Right.
And I think we should do the same thing, basically. I have no objection at all to the way this is structured, where people who have a public comment.
I don't either. I always thought it was odd that
can come before us and talk about it, because this information is available on the website regardless before the meeting. That's why we have the agenda set up 7 days before the meeting, so the public can review a case if they want to in detail. And if they have a comment as a public member and they want to participate in this and give us some input, then they should be encouraged to do that, I think, you know, and be free to do that. Prior to us making the decision, we can then consider not only the landlord and the tenant, but also any public input that we receive.
I don't have any comments. I read it and I thought it was acceptable. So, and then your edits seem reasonable to me.
I have a couple other comments too. Just some editing issues.
Okay.
Under B2, there are two periods after
yes,
the first sentence.
Uh-huh.
You know, I know you're on top of this, Jennifer. I'm just reminding you.
Good. Yep.
In duties, we've read, I'm sure all of us, this paragraph time and time again. Mm-hmm. However, there is a word which is there's a sentence which says the committee as a whole and individual members of the committee shall not act as an advance, and it should be advocate.
Yes, it should. Thank you.
I have a question on some of the detailed wording in the meeting section.
Okay.
You already discussed and I'm in favor, by the way, of changing it to 6:30 from as opposed to 7 o'clock. But you know, I'm willing to hear the other community members about this. What happens with respect to the posting of the agenda when a meeting is rescheduled because of a holiday? Mm-hmm. What the paragraph says is that the meetings will. The chair will, and I presume in conjunction with staff and community members, will assign a date apart from a holiday date, if a holiday occurs on the Monday of the meeting. But it says that he'll do that, or she will do that, consistent with the procedures for special meetings. Mm-hmm. The problem I have with that is that while that then brings up special meetings, which have a different agenda timing than regular meetings do, and yet this says an agenda will be prepared and posted 7 calendar days prior to the regular meeting. What about the special meeting? What about the meeting which am I just misinterpreting it? And the rescheduling of a regular meeting to a later date, say Wednesday of that week as opposed to Monday, would still be a regular meeting. I just want to make sure that the paragraph is clear that the agenda should occur 7 days mm-hmm. prior to, at least 7 days prior to the when the meeting has been rescheduled to occur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
make
okay.
Make sense?
Yes, I know, I hear that. That's using special meeting is maybe causing
is
some
a little,
confusion.
Yeah, looking, because later on you get to the special meetings and it's 48 hours for a special meeting.
Right.
So be a little careful about this, because when it says that the rules and procedures for special meetings will apply, not in that case, not for the agenda.
Okay.
So what do you want, rescheduled meeting?
It'll just be have to be reworded so that the agenda will occur 7 days before the rescheduled meeting.
Okay.
That's all. It's a little ambiguous right now.
Sure.
Adjournment. You've mentioned meetings E1 that was start at 6:30, but what about E4 where it says adjournment? Right now it's saying 10:30 p.m. And I think that we have decided so far it's 9:30, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we should make it 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's all I have.
Does anyone have any concern that 6:30 to 9:30 is not going to be enough time? I remember when we originally said what time, I had thought 7 because I want to make sure that folks who work far away or don't necessarily live right here on the island, or work here on the island, be able to get here in time.
Well,
I'm not necessarily advocating that we go back to 7. I mean, I have to be in the office at 6, so Lord knows I like early, but Does anyone have any concerns?
I had a thought about that, Brendan, which is exactly the same thing. You know, that since the procedure in front of us right now, maybe we should discuss what the times really should be. I mean, we've established 6:30 and 9:30, but I have a little concern about that too, because I know the city council meetings start at 7, right? And there's a reason for that, because people have dinner, you know, and getting here, if they want to see what happens in RAC, can be a little bit stressful for them if they're at 6:30. I have no problem with it personally, but I'm not thinking of opening up to the public or as well as the other committee members. I think we should kind of discuss this again and reach some concurrence. So I have no problem with 6:30 being, it isn't too early for me, but it is pushing a little bit on the early side for the public in general. And for some other participants, landlords and tenants, maybe too.
Do we have any reason to think it's a problem?
Yeah.
Haven't heard of anything that I know of so
far. Has staff had any comments about 6:30 not being accommodating to the public?
No, we have not.
Okay.
No.
In that case, then I'll be favorable.
I have a preference for 6:30, so.
Okay. I mean, we've extended the time before. At the last meeting, we didn't end at 9:30. We went longer, so
yeah.
We can do that. Yeah. As the chair can always extend, and
I think that, by the way, that's a good idea to do it exactly that way. Just let's limit it to some reasonable time, and then if we have to extend it, then so be it. I mean, the only consideration which we've heard of as a group so far is a concern about the meeting running too late, but there's already a procedure to handle that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And just to make a comment it sounds like you want to make sure that you can hear cases for tenants and landlords at a reasonable time. There is an option for tenants and landlords to submit for a reasonable accommodation if they need some change to the procedures or access to the room, and that would include timing too.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right, so 6:30 is good?
Yep, that's great.
Yep.
But I would also suggest that we do not approve this today. I want to, myself personally, want to see the wording, the final wording, so I'd rather table it or direct staff to come up with wording that we can approve. I don't like approving things verbally, especially something like this, which is a procedure. I think we should have the final form, or close to the final form, in front of us, and there are just too many changes that is a little bit ambiguous right now, and so I would vote more towards reading it again when we have the wording in front of us.
That's fine with me.
I agree.
Just table it past till our next meeting.
Okay.
Okay, so for clarity, everything that I had read verbally was that folks wanted to see that amended in the procedures? Or would you like to see it written out and then you can review them?
Yeah, if you can,
I'd like to
include
see
those
out.
Edits, yeah, and then distribute those.
The only thing I'd like to discuss further, just because I want to clarify it and make sure that we build this into our rules, is the question about when is the greatest benefit for public contribution to the discussion of a case. I was a little, I think we have different opinions about that, and I think if we could agree on that, we could write that into the mm-hmm. procedure. So. You sounded like, I don't know, Robert, we were raising the question that somehow there was some point at which a public contribution would be too late. You'd want to see it earlier in the discussion of the case?
Well, what is written now and what had happened before, you weren't on the board yet, but you remember when we had a lot of cases from those folks who were mostly Filipino and had come from the 101 Central? We had public comment before the case. And I think that makes sense because it adds color to the case before we decide.
Do you mean before the case is called or before?
I mean before
the
folks sit down.
After the case is called.
It's after the case is called. Yeah. We announce the case, so it'll be case 1, 2, 3,
uh-huh.
and then there is a public comment, and then the landlord and the tenant sit down and we start the mediation process,
uh-huh.
and then we, if need be, render a decision. Hopefully they come to a decision themselves. But that is as it is stated in that document, and that's what we previously we have done before. Because after, what doesn't make much sense to me, if I was a member of the public, I would feel that my comment would not count as much if it's after the decision has been made.
So I just want to add something. I'm Claudia Young, the Director of Rent and Community Programs. So in the Sunshine Ordinance, our city attorney pointed out that we have to have public comment prior to starting the cases for non-agenda items. So that's what the public comment is prior to starting the cases. And then during each individual case, we have to have public comment. I understand your concern whether it's before or after the motion, but as I'm reading the Sunshine Ordinance, it has to be, the public comment has to be prior to the motion.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yes, however, this procedure in front of me has public comment non-agenda after the cases are heard.
Right, just read. Yeah, we need to change it. Once we approve everything, then from moving forward, that's how our agendas are going to be.
Right.
So you're going to, you're also, one additional change to is to move the public comment section to earlier in the meeting. Is that right?
Correct. So we don't have it, it sounds like we don't have that today in our agenda. In that
no, it's not. It's not in the rules and procedures either.
Oh, yes, you do.
Public comment is at the end.
Category 7. Public
right,
comment.
So that would be moved up.
Okay, moved up. Right.
What if we made part of our procedure? It's an idea. What if maybe to address maybe your concern, maybe all of our concern, we had an invitation from public comment before the case began.
Well, I was going to bring it up actually, but I think it's a good idea. We Jennifer already talked about A, B, C, D, E, you know, a detailed procedure of how cases are heard, right? And the time allocated for each. Perhaps it would be a good idea to put public comment in that procedure by case. So we have a place allocated, maybe even some time allocated for public comment on a case-by-case basis. Would that work, Cynthia? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, that's fine. And I just wanted to point out that your concern about time and going into the other cases, you can limit the time.
Right.
And I think that's the best that we can do. So.
Right. Which is what I was saying, too. Yeah. Limit the time.
Okay.
On a case-by-case basis. So just add that as part of the A, B, C, D, E you were referring to before. Certainly, Cynthia pretty much knows where it has to go now. So pretty early, and I would say soon after the case number. Hard to say whether it should be before or after the case summary, though, I guess. Let me get down to, I'm not sure how you feel about that. There is a.
I think it just has to be done before the motion, but we can check in with our city attorney.
Yeah, because I'm not sure if it where it would best fit.
Well, I imagine that it would be after the case is heard because the public would need an opportunity to hear.
Right
after both the case summary.
After the case summary. That's what I'm thinking too. Is
Chris, did you have something you want to say?
I was going to say, just on the staff summary, I prefer if we did the public comment after staff summary, just so, again, the public can have a more informed decision, but I would actually like it after the deliberation between, or, you know, the after we ask both of them to talk before we start deliberating amongst ourselves.
That may be even better.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know.
And that's typically how it's done at council. Staff will give their staff report. And then prior to council going into discussion, we'll take public comment, and then.
But if we, are you saying that after the tenant has 5 minutes, and after the landlord has 5 minutes, is that what you're saying, or no?
Yeah, that's what I said. But now that I hear it,
because I wouldn't
like
want someone
because,
to feel
yeah.
that they're attacked.
Yeah. So maybe if it was before, so after staff summary, prior to the 5 minutes each. So if there's any additional information.
Right.
Because I don't want to get like a back and forth between. These folks who are trying to work something out.
I think we'll check in with our city attorney,
okay.
But because I'm a little bit concerned that you do it before you start the mediation and then you're pushing the mediation time and then they don't have enough time to do mediation.
Mm-hmm.
If you try to do it in between.
Well, you know, Cynthia, time is time is time. You know, I mean, we're trying to fit this whole process into a certain time frame, and if we're going to make time for public comment, then we have to make time for public comment. Really, it doesn't matter where it goes. I would be more in favor of having it before the tenant and landlord get down to specifics of. I mean, the fact of the matter is, the agenda item has the same information on the website that we have in front of us. So if someone really wants to understand the details that we have of a case before the case is heard before us, they can do that, and that's when they should make their comment, I think.
I think history as a guide shows that it's going to take less time than we anticipate, normally. Mm-hmm. Many of the cases get resolved before they come here, which is great. And then, if need be, we can always say everyone gets a minute, and that's
exactly.
It. Because we've got too many speakers, and we want people to hear their piece, but we've got a process to go through. Food for thought. No, are you satisfied? No.
You know, I think as long as it doesn't come in between when the two people present their cases and we ask questions of them. As long as it's not there, it could be either before or after. That's
okay.
Fine.
Okay.
I don't. Either way is fine. Me.
Okay.
Yeah. Having it before is fine. You know, read the case summary. Are there any public comments? And then invite the two people.
Well, then I think that we're all kind of preferring to have the public comment be after the staff reads the case. And that's
okay.
In a slot, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we get the case number, staff reads the case summary, public comment, then mediation.
Yeah.
And,
then we'll go to discussion.
Okay. All right. So
it sounds like you want the item either way back so you can review it one more time. So
yes.
we'll go ahead and follow up with
okay.
our city attorney
okay.
Just to get any other reasoning he may have, and we'll bring that back to the table.
Okay.
Thank
terrific.
You.
Thank you, Claudia. Thanks so much. Okay, moving on, 6F, we need to have a vote for chair and vice chair, so when a few months ago we didn't want to take a vote with an incomplete committee, so we appointed an interim chair, myself, interim vice chair. And so now we need to have a vote, is that correct?
Correct.
Well, I think
so
we should discuss it first. Basically, I have a concern, which is, maybe it's a minor concern, but this is the, because I'm thinking of Tina, this is the first chance we have had a meeting with Milton,
right?
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But Tina wasn't here this last meeting.
Right.
And so this is the first meeting that we've had a full committee, so we've had a chance to see how we all work together.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not concerned about myself particularly. I think I'm ready to nominate and vote, but you know, maybe Tina isn't because it's a little premature, but I'll.
And so just for clarity, so I thought that when I left that we were going to appoint you to be the chair. If you would really be willing to accept that.
The only action that we took is when the two slots came up and it was.
I can give some clarity.
Please.
On that. So committee members requested to have an interim chair and interim vice chair until all positions on the committee were filled. We currently have all RAC committee members positions filled. Therefore, now it's time for the committee by request that they vote for a permanent chair and vice chair.
Okay. I do think we need to, for stability's sake.
Well, the only question out of consideration for Tina, because she wasn't here,
okay.
is why I made the comment. I'm ready to vote, you know, I don't want to overrule if Tina has any concerns about who is most, because I think what we should do is choose the most capable person to be chair and the second person to back them up. That's all. It's that simple. So to make that decision, we have to kind of know the personalities and how we operate together. And I just wanted to make sure that Tina had enough time to to see Milt operate.
In action.
So, okay. so that she can make a reasonable choice and, you know, about who to vote for.
I think an easy solution is, do you feel comfortable voting today?
Yes, I do.
Okay, that's an easy solution.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
For
okay. who were we thinking about being chair?
Well, I'd like to put my name in nomination for the position. I wasn't certain at the beginning, but I find that I think I have a lot to contribute to the position. I think that a lot of my experience would be helpful, and I'd be happy to do it. It fits into my life right now, so I'm offering my services if the committee would like.
I would like to put our interim chair as for our full time.
Yes.
For Brendan, I'd like to put Brendan's name out for. Yeah, for sure. That was really horribly worded. So, I would like to nominate Brendan chair.
Okay, I would happily do so. I think that we've done a really good job as a group, and I'm glad that you're here, because I think that we've really elevated the discourse of the RAC a lot and made it a lot more accessible. I think it's important that we continue doing that so that everyone has faith in the system and that we're mediators, not advocates. I'm willing to do that, and I'd be honored to do that. Anyone else?
I
think that's an important point. I think what we should do is find out who wants it first.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then decide who we think is best. You know?
Would you like to be chair?
Well, I'd be willing to, but I think that, you know, you and Milt are better candidates than I am, probably, you know, for a chair. I mean, I'll leave it up to the committee to decide that. Of course, I could be chair, you know. I mean, it'd be fine with me to do that. It's just that, as I said, I think there are better choices. I would have a problem voting for myself.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Who is there someone that would like to be vice chair?
Again, I would also like to put someone's name forward. I'd like to put Tina.
You know, I think we should decide on the chair first, actually. I mean, it's not, shouldn't we?
I don't know. I'm just trying to get an idea about who wants to do what.
Yeah. I think that probably is the best procedure. Let's find out what the attitudes are of the people first.
Right.
And then we'll decide. So I'm on your side, Chris. I have always liked the idea of Tina being vice chair. Helps to have someone with that kind of different perspective on the committee. I like that idea. But I want to hear from Tina, of course.
It wasn't my idea about the potential outcome from this meeting, but I would be very happily, I would happily take that position, and I'm very honored. Thank you very much.
And I just wanted to, you know, point out this has nothing to do with, you know, me not liking anyone else, but I really like the idea of a tenant and a landlord being chair and vice chair, just to bring balance to the committee. And, you know, I have only served two meetings with you so far, Mel, and so it's nothing against you. It's just I've spent more time with Brendan and Tina, so I'm more comfortable with them. And for you, Robert, you always bring up very good points, and I want you to be able to bring and pass motions without being limited by being chair and not being able to bring forward motions.
I think that's an important consideration for all of us, is that there's a procedural aspect of this. If you look at the Rosenberg rules about what, or even these procedures about the responsibilities of chair and vice chair, while it doesn't specifically limit your participation as a committee member, you do have additional responsibilities. And it's just proper for you to, like Brandon Friend has done, was to ask for a motion, you know, as opposed to making it yourself, you know. And so there are pluses and minuses of both aspects of it. I agree with you.
Well, actually, that's addressed in our rules and procedures.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the chair is able to make motions and participate in discussions and votes as an equal member. Mm-hmm.
They are. I try not to make motions. I'd rather have somebody else do them.
All I'm saying is what's in the rules and procedures.
That's true.
And I think the intention is to equalize the rules more than to exempt somebody from acting.
Any thoughts?
But I'm just saying that's what the rules are.
Sure.
I don't think it's, you know, of course somebody can sit back and not make a motion, but the rules define the position of the chair as an equal participant.
Mm-hmm. It's tough because you're new and we work with each other. Thoughts, concerns about what you're hearing?
About what?
I don't know.
Well, I don't know either.
just general thoughts. I guess the reason I ask is because you're new, and I want to make sure that you don't feel excluded or that your voice isn't being heard.
I don't feel excluded at all.
Okay.
No.
That's all I wanted to ask.
I mean, I speak up when I have something to say.
Okay. Great. I wouldn't imagine the vote was a little bit that I don't know. Okay, so I'd like to take a vote then.
So
let's call a question.
Yeah. So I would like to motion Brendan as chair and Tina as vice chair because I feel they are both more than capable of serving us those positions, and I think they've done a good job so far demonstrating their ability to be in those positions.
Is that what a vote is?
I don't think you need to make a motion for a nomination.
Oh, no?
Nope. Mm-hmm.
Oh. What do I have to do? I'm so used to making a motion that.
No, you don't need a motion.
You don't need a motion to nominate. You just need to nominate. I nominate.
Then I nominate Brendan and Tina for chair and vice chair, respectively.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we're both okay with that?
I'm okay with that.
I'm also okay with that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Is this a motion?
I think it's a vote.
It's a vote.
It's a vote.
Okay. Which is not a motion.
So how do we vote? Jonathan?
I'm not going to.
Is it secret?
Claudia?
It's
not secret, right?
It's a motion. It should be seconded, and we should see
vote.
There's no such thing as a vote.
You need to vote for the chair, and then you need to vote for the vice chair.
They're both separate votes.
Majority.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, so chair.
I nominate Brendan as chair.
Okay. And a vote?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
And your vice chair?
I nominate Tina as vice chair.
Okay.
Okay.
And a vote?
Aye.
Okay. Settled. Thanks, everyone. Oh, that's beautiful. Gotta read up my rules. And then item 6G, the SEEDS mediation training for the committee members.
Okay. That will be for the committee members to be held at the special meeting on Monday, August 15th.
And August 15th is Monday. So that's the second Monday or the third Monday?
That would be the third Monday of the month. So 2 weeks from today.
August 15th is right. That's the third. You're right.
Okay. Yeah, that's 2 weeks from today.
Okay. 2 weeks from the day. Thank you, John.
Okay, terrific. And on to public comment. We have one speaker, C. Lynn.
On the public comment, I'm not sure that I'm going to need to comment tonight. Since we have Echo here, I'm going to talk to Echo.
Okay.
So I'll withdraw my public comment.
Okay. Thank you.
At this point.
Okay. And any other public comments this evening? No? Okay. And move on to oral communications?
None from staff.
No? Okay. In which case,
can I? Oh, we're allowed to say things, right?
Of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
correct.
Yes, I just want to bring up that at our next meeting, I think I'd like it if we can have include in our discussion a discussion of what we're all about, you know, what we're trying to accomplish, how we're trying to accomplish it, and whether our practices are really meeting what our intentions are. So I think I think people have different ideas about what we're trying to accomplish, and I'd like to have that be part of our discussion.
For us amongst our
yeah.
members?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
That's
fair. We should put that on the, let's see how we do this. We have to direct staff to put on the agenda a discussion of just this issue. We can't decide it now, can we? Isn't that right?
No, it has to be an agenda.
It has to be an agenda item. Mm-hmm. So all we can do is direct staff to put on the agenda us to consider having a session where we consider what our purposes are and talk among ourselves.
I think it can be a part of your training where we discuss that.
Mediation training, yeah. Which will be the 2 weeks from today.
Mm-hmm. We'll include it as a part of that way we can have a discussion.
That's a good idea.
You know, what the purpose is, and then correlate that with the mediation training.
Okay. Would you like a more public forum?
I think our next meeting is open.
It is, but usually for the training ones, hardly anyone comes.
No. I think it's fine.
Okay, perfect.
We need a chance to talk about it.
Sure.
And I have something orally to communicate to. After looking at our rules and procedures, and after looking at Rosenberg's rules and procedures, I think it would be very beneficial for us to have a meeting with maybe Michael Rausch to discuss the details of the procedure by which we conduct our meetings. Mm-hmm. I know that Jennifer is going to be adding some detailed procedures in the cases. That really isn't what my concern is. My concern is if there's a lot of information in these rules and procedures, and also in Rosenberg's rules of order, which have to do with the way public meetings are conducted. And at least in my opinion, the most knowledgeable person about the way public meetings are to be conducted is Michael Rausch. And I would sort of like to have him get together with us somehow, you know, either in a public or non-public meeting, just to discuss, so we can ask him questions of how we should best operate to good practices in public meetings.
So it would have to be a public meeting, so we can maybe have him attend when we come back with the rules and procedures and the changes, maybe have him attend so he can answer some of the questions,
okay,
or some of the additional questions. And that way you'll have a chance to see what the changes are. You'll have a chance to see that.
Okay.
And then we'll bring up some of the concerns, and then he can have time to think through that.
Will Michael be back for the September 7th meeting?
So
I thought he was going to go.
September 7th, yes, but depending on how packed our agenda is, we may or may not want to have it at that meeting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but that's when the reverted procedures are going to come back to us, right? So far, that's the schedule?
We were actually thinking of bringing it back maybe on the 15th. But if you want Michael Rausch here, we'll have to wait until September.
Okay. I was still concerned because I got an email from Michael saying he's going to be gone for a while. And
right,
for
like 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, okay.
I also have, I'm sorry to continue this, I also have a question actually for staff. If I'm not mistaken, the RAC usually submits a yearly report to City Council. Am I incorrect?
The rent program.
Uh-huh.
So that would be as a staff, the housing authority would.
Does that include the RAC?
Yes. We actually submit a monthly report right now, which is available online on our website at Alameda rentprogram.org. So we have a monthly report that we have available, and then after 1 year, we're going to report back to the council.
Can we see that before you do?
Yeah.
Okay. Can it be emailed just in case we? I know it goes up to the website, but if you can indulge me.
More than that, I think that Debbie Potter submitted some information to City Council on how the ordinance is doing and how RAC is doing.
And it's our monthly reports.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's the monthly report?
Yes. So what we did in our third month report is we combined the first 3 months. So we gave...
it's like a quarterly.
Right.
Last year.
Yeah. So I don't call it quarterly because typically quarterlies starts July, August, September. So we're a little off. But it includes our first 3 months, and we kind of did a total of the first year. So that particular month that we were reporting on, and then we also showed April, May. So it showed 3 months, April, May, and June. So we're going to do that every 3 months. And then after 1 year, we have to report back to council, assuming that the ordinance passes in November and we move forward.
Okay.
But the monthly ones are available on our website if you ever want to see us.
Okay. Thanks. Anything else? Hmm? Anybody else?
No.
No? Okay. In which case I remove the adjourn the time. I can't see.
8:10.
Can you
get the turn? I think the turn is wrong.
It's freezing.
I guess the icon is a little more accurate.